the numbers are totally off as far as who's dying, what the scope of this epidemic is worldwide, because these terms are being used interchangeably.
It's not viral pneumonia that requires ventilation. What's going on is an attack on red blood cells, and the attack on the red blood cells due to the virus is releasing the iron. When that iron gets released, the liver tries to sop up all that iron, but it's that iron that makes its way to the lungs, and it's in the lungs that that iron creates the inflammation response, which is what creates the cytokine storm. So it's mimicking pneumonia, but it's not pneumonia. And that's what's going on in the hospitals. The doctors aren't allowed to be free thinkers. They aren't allowed to be critical thinkers. They're allowed to follow protocol. And when they don't follow protocol, then things happen. And that could be linked to the litigious society that we live in. But what it does is it stifles creativity, and it stifles out-of-the-box thinking, and it stifles saving lives in times like this.
It's a fear. They've created a fear, and we're going to save you. No, we have, especially on this Good Friday, we have a God-given immune system. We don't have to walk around in masks. We just have to take care of our God-given immune system.
With the COVID-19 virus crisis and the number of casualties with the flu, if you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your immunities by now, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense, and for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight viruses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe as long as you are taking high-quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exists. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. Fourth, as Dr. Chu Lee stated on a previous show, COVID-19 creates massive amounts of free radicals, which is causing organ failure for those with weaker immune systems. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Why black seed oil and curcumin? Because these two ingredients are the absolute best at supporting C60 to fight viruses and to improve your immune system. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful for building your immunities. And it's now available in gel capsules and by diffuser for more serious needs. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Dr. Judy Mikovits and Dr. Joe Newsma coming to the show. They are the brightest minds in science and medicine. We are so fortunate to have them. Judy is credited for saving millions of lives from AIDS, and she is very well known, has been smeared as a whistleblower, but just an excellent scientist, knows a ton. She's a virologist. And then Dr. Joe is, he has been on my show before. He's the one that explained chloroquine. And now you're hearing everybody explain it. This was a couple of 3 weeks ago, and everyone's explaining it the same way he did. And he helps people get off of a cocktail of drugs and really regain your health. He is in the industry. He is very well respected and well known. He speaks all over. So we have two excellent people I think should be Donald Trump's real advisors. I think if we had these two advising Mr. Trump, President Trump, we would be in such a great situation. These are the ones I recommend. I think they're wonderful. They're brilliant. And you would know they're the best. And you can tell when you're listening to them. And before we get into this interview, I want to thank everybody again who are my patrons and supporters for my show in general, who support my affiliates. This show, I am really concerned, could get censored. And YouTube, I'm telling YouTube, please listen. These guys are the best. And so if you censor them, oh my gosh, if this doesn't send a message that you are censoring for the wrong reason, I don't know what else would, and that you're on the wrong side of history, because these guys, what they're saying is about our well-being and what's going to help humanity, and that's our goal. So if you're censoring that, I think you're sending a big message to people on what side of humanity you're on and what you're putting your stake into. Because if you listen to these two and you research and you understand what they're saying, you will be horrified knowing in the future, if you look back at your own self, knowing that you didn't support what they're saying. It is bad to not support these guys. And again, Mr. Trump, President Trump, please consider bringing these guys on to be your advisors and to listen to what they have to say. They're absolutely brilliant. I also want to tell you that I forgot to tell people that I had an exclusive for my Patreon last time with Dr. Vera Porter. She is talking about energy medicine and a study, the largest study of the kind, on the type of energy medicine that she's been working on. And she's going to explain that study for my Patreons. That's an exclusive. If you hadn't seen her show yet, it's an excellent show that I did with her. So you can find that on my channel at sarahwestall.com. And for those of you that want to find the Patreon exclusive, you can find it at patreon.com/sarahwestall. So let's get into this excellent interview with Dr. Judy and Dr. Joe. Hi, Dr. Joe and Dr. Judy. Thank you for joining the program.
Pleasure.
Always nice to be back, Sarah.
Well, you two are the experts. I mean, we have Dr. Judy, who's been in the bioweapons research lab. She gets the whole government. She saved millions of lives with AIDS. And then we have Dr. Joe, who is the one that explained to everybody how hydrochloroquine actually works and is on the forefront of all that. And now I'm hearing everybody repeat what you say. So I'm so happy that we were able to get that information out to people when we did. But there's so much confusion out there, and I think we just need to do what we can, because I'm confused. I think we're all confused because nothing makes sense, but let's get to the science so that we can at least make sense of what we do know. Can we start with what is the difference between the SARS-CoV and the COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2? I don't know what they call that.
Yeah, I'll grab that one. So SARS-CoV-2 means severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2. And so that's because the nearest similar virus, it's clear that it evolved from SARS coronavirus 1. So they just called that SARS in 2000, severe acute respiratory syndrome virus. So COVID-19 means coronavirus infectious disease 19. And the infection does not equal disease, and I necessarily. So the numbers are totally off as far as who's dying, what the scope of this epidemic is worldwide, because these terms are being used interchangeably. And we know from reports worldwide that between 80 and 90% of the people who are infected with the coronavirus known as SARS-2 or COVID-2 are asymptomatic, have no disease whatsoever. And in fact, the people who have disease are the fragile, are the elderly with other comorbidities, we call that, with other diseases, primarily high blood pressure, type 1 diabetes, cardiac diseases where they're on other drugs and things. So they have issues with the microvasculature, with their blood system, and certainly other co-infections, like people with what is known as chronic Lyme disease or myalgic encephalomyelitis, CFS. These people have inflammatory diseases and issues with their blood and liver enzymes and the ability to detox. So the infection with SARS-CoV-2, a relatively harmless upper respiratory infection in the elderly become something so much more. So this is the big problem. Infection does not equal disease. And death certificates, and we heard Dr. Birx go say, oh, well, here in the United States, we're doing it liberally. No matter what somebody comes to the hospital with, if they test positive for this virus, they got this disease. If you test positive for SARS-CoV, you've got COVID-19. And in the scientific world, nothing could be further from the truth. In the medical world, they don't go look and see if I have EBV, Epstein-Barr virus, and call it mononucleosis or Burkitt's lymphoma if I die of something else. And 99% of the people have these things. And all of a sudden, this is a disease. No, an infection is not necessarily a disease. HIV does not necessarily cause AIDS. You have to have other things going on, co-infections, comorbidities. This is what is apparent with the 5G technology, a comorbidity, something that activates expression and drives that cytokine storm. If you don't have the elevated ferritin levels and the cytokine storm from the infection, you won't have a disease.
That's excellently stated.
So, I mean, what does that mean to like a layman person? Basically, are they using it to make the numbers look a lot higher than they are?
Yes.
And
absolutely.
And that's what it seems like. It doesn't seem like it's anywhere near, and Joe, I want you to talk. It doesn't seem anywhere near as bad because I was covering the Wuhan in detail. And then I have a lot of intel that's telling me that Wuhan was bad. I mean, that's a big cover-up over there, and we believe millions of people succumbed to something over there. And whatever we're experiencing here is not the same thing as what they experienced over there. And why is that? What is going on? If any of you have a theory, I would really appreciate some kind of, you know, what the heck?
Well, just to piggyback on what Dr. Judy said about if the people die of anything, they're calling it COVID-19. The best description of that is the picture of the diver, because he's in a bathing suit, but they have it at an angle, so all you see is sky. So they say the skydiver that forgot his parachute died of COVID-19. It's not the fall that killed that guy. It's a sudden stop at the end. But still, it's the shell game that they're playing there, because anybody that dies in the hospital, they're most likely not doing an autopsy. They're not doing the pathology. They're not doing the follow-up for an actual cause of death. If somebody is in the last stages of life battling cancer, they've been battling lung cancer for 4 years, and then they come in, well, maybe they die of pneumonia, they're going to say that's COVID-19, even though for the last 4 years, their medical chart is chocked full of cancer. And it's that type of skewing that's going on. And then the other part that skews the numbers for the media appropriate death rate, so that if it bleeds, it leads, that the tests aren't 100% accurate. The people aren't getting tested. There's a large part of the population, if you recall, still, what is it, 95 to 98% of the people that get COVID-19 will recover. And the fact of the matter is, there could have been COVID-19 well before the first release case in Wuhan. They're saying that California isn't as bad right now because maybe last year there was a stealth exposure because of all the travel between California and China. And so there's a little bit more herd immunity that is coming into play here. In the state of Colorado, I read that 75% of the beds they thought would be full by this time are not. So it's, again, it's a suggestion that it's not as bad as it's been painted in the media. It's not as bad. Maybe that's because of the flattening of the curve and the draconian measures of turning off society to kill the economy. But that's a different show. And I think they're playing games with the numbers and they're playing games with the tests. And those two are skewing numbers to say this virus is a lot more lethal than maybe it really is.
So the worst part of that, Joe, is that people are going to the hospital, getting a diagnosis of COVID-19, being treated inappropriately, and they're being killed.
Yes.
Yeah, because the ventilators are killing them, right?
I have a theory on that.
The ventilators, right, are killing them.
The ventilators are, yes.
Yes.
Yes. There is an emergency room physician in New York that has figured out that it's not viral pneumonia that requires ventilation. What's going on is an attack on red blood cells, and the attack on the red blood cells due to the virus is releasing the iron that's usually bound up in the heme molecule and in I think it's the ferritin state, correct me if I'm wrong, but when that iron gets released, the liver tries to sop up all that iron, but it's that iron that makes its way to the lungs, and it's in the lungs that iron creates the inflammation response, which is what creates the cytokine storm. So it's mimicking pneumonia, but it's not pneumonia. And the clues that tip this ER doc off is that the bone marrow is significantly activated and the body is trying to churn out red blood cells, which are the tool that gets the oxygen from your lungs to all of your tissues. And it's the red blood cell that carries that oxygen. And if the iron is released from the red blood cell and the iron goes off to create other havoc in the lungs, the red blood cells can't carry oxygen and your body is slowly starved of that oxygen that it desperately needs to function. And that's where the problem kicks in, because the body is trying to fight that storm. And that's why this emergency room physician in New York City is saying ventilators aren't the right thing. Pneumonia isn't the right thing. And there is it's more of an exquisite attack by the virus on the red blood cells, which is really kind of the toxicologist in me wants to say, wow, that's cool. That's a great mechanism of action if you want to kill people.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I've read or I've seen reports that if the doctors use the ventilators, that they get $35,000 or something. I mean, they get significantly more money if this patient goes on a ventilator than if you just use hydrochloroquine to deal with it. So there is a major incentive monetarily for doctors to do the wrong thing, which freaked me out when I saw that. I'm not saying that they all would be evil and do the wrong thing, because there are doctors that are pissed about that. But there was a doctor I was listening to that was telling me about it.
We've had that discussion before about how doctors are influenced by external forces on making standard of care decisions based on the bookkeeping side of things other than the patient care side of things. And you know how I feel about that, Sarah, but I believe that that could very well come into play. And the other thing that you have to keep in mind, no disrespect intended, that when the doctors are overwhelmed and the emergency rooms are full of people, they're going with what they think the mainstream has said is the right thing to do. And you have one or two doctors saying, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, we need to fight viral load over mechanically ventilating people, because if you keep the viral load low and the body can overcome the attack on the red blood cells, you have a better chance of avoiding the ventilator, avoiding the mechanical damage from the lungs from pumping them up too much, and you have a chance for those people to survive. But still, the best chance to beat this virus is to not allow the infection to become disease. Judy has it absolutely 100% correct in the fact that infection does not believe or does not equal disease. Go ahead.
And I should also say, Sarah, the 1-2 punch for preventing that infection from becoming disease is a molecule, an immune therapy that we've known about for 40 years, and the research supports it in preventing coronaviruses from jumping species from animals, because of all animals have coronaviruses. And that molecule is called interferon alpha. It's type 1 interferon. Merck sells a bottle of 50 million units, which would, the dose you want to use is very, very, very low dose, between 50 and 100 units twice a day. You can spray it in your mouth or just simply, you know, just spray it in your mouth as a low dose spray. And it, interferon alpha is an antiviral. So it literally turns off. It doesn't allow the virus to be expressed and stimulate that cascade of inflammation because it says it's okay. That infection's in my mouth. It's not in my body. We're done. It's in, you can use it as a sinus spray. We put interferon alpha in a sinus spray, literally saline in our nose, and it keeps the virus from becoming a virus. A nucleic acid sequence has to replicate and become a particle and make many more copies of itself. The sequence in your nose does not equal an infection, and that's how the testing are being skewed. So that 150 million unit vial from Merck of type 1 interferon, I think it's called Alpharon or something of that nature. They change it. We made it 35, 40 years ago, my first job. So that cost 50 cents a day for 1,000 people to take it for a week twice a day. 50 cents a dose for 1,000 people, elderly, to take it. So a $600 vial, and Merck took it off the market. So we've got, and so the 1-2 punch of hydroxychloroquine, first alpha interferon, and we've got some in the fridge. I take it and spray it every morning when I get up. And my husband, who has COPD, does as well. You know, so that's the first punch. And the second one is, should you get an infection before it starts doing damage to your blood cells and to your immune system and causing that cytokine storm, is that free ferritin, as Joe said, is very inflammatory. So there's a simple blood test we can do, you know, that is done every day. Look at free ferritin. If the numbers get above 3,000, you've got a cytokine storm. Doesn't matter what these infections are, but many infections can cause that. And that's why, particularly including the influenza vaccine or infection, that's why you would never give that live attenuated or any other vaccine. And so this is what our government is denying. We didn't have to shut down the whole economy, buy up exactly. Some interferon alpha, give it to everybody who's at risk. It's ugly. Yes, you it two, is ugly.
You two doctors, you two, Dr. Joe and Dr. Judy, should be talking to Trump and in his committee, period. Because you know what's going on. You two should be there. You two should be feeding him the information because you care about humanity. You care about this economy and you get the science. You understand the science. You two need to be there. But how do they get this?
It's really,
go ahead, Joe.
It's really about balancing your immune system. It's exactly what Judy's talking about. Interferon alpha is a tool of the immune system to keep your body in balance. Fighting inflammation is a tool of your immune system to keep it in balance. And both of those speak to how you keep everything at bay, not just COVID-19, but the common cold, the flu, the H1N1, HIV, hepatitis A, B, C.
All viruses.
Everything. Anthrax. I mean, it's
all viruses.
All virus, all bacteria.
It was too good, maybe. That's why they didn't want to do it. I like C60 because it gets rid of all the free radicals and it deals with a whole bunch of other crap. It's really broad.
It fights inflammation.
It fights inflammation and it does other things. But this is wonderful for virus, right? It's just, it was too good. It dealt with all the viruses. And then if they did that, they couldn't put out vaccines and other things. Now, how do people get it, though? I mean, if Merck, do they still sell it? I mean, how do people get this?
The interferon alpha?
Yeah.
I don't have any idea.
This is what Trump has to do, just as he did with the chloroquines. But he has to say, it's time to end this worldwide nightmare, and we can all go back to work, because as Joe discussed in the beginning, if most people who are infected, and we know this in California, even those who got that really bad flu last year, if they do the correct test, which is the serology test, meaning do you have an antibody? Did your immune system respond with an antibody? That's the definition of immunity for vaccinology, for why you would give a vaccine. But if everybody in California is immune, or many, many people in California have already, especially the young people, not the sick. I mean, my husband's retired. He doesn't have to go back to work. But if we protect the vulnerable, you know, we've created what Joe said correctly is a natural herd immunity. And those who make antibodies, especially IgG, which can be protective, can go back to work. And those antibodies can be harvested. That's harvested and given. It's called intravenous immunoglobulin therapy, and we make it right here in California. So the healthy and the strong in the immune can go back to work, and we can protect the vulnerable.
Well, and Joe, you
and
said this.
And not destroy the world's economy.
Joe, you said that 3 weeks ago on our show, and when you also explained how chloroquine works, hydrochloroquine, you also talked about how you don't like, yes, how they're dealing with this thing. And you brought up exactly what Judy's talking about. We wouldn't be in this economic situation that we're in, destroying Western economies. I mean, they're destroying our whole economy and way of life, yes, when we have solutions. And you nailed it,
yes,
then. Okay, I do want to talk about Wuhan, though,
yes,
because Wuhan, the thing that happened on Wuhan is they created, whatever happened, created enough fear in and enough reality that they were able to do this, because something was real over there. And you talked about the iron going in the blood. Could it be 5G? Could it be the pollution? I mean, what really happened over there that created, was it the CCP just killing people? I mean, what happened? Does anybody know? I mean, have you dove into it enough, or is it still just such a big cover-up that it's so hard to get the right information?
Well, you got to look at the pieces you have and straighten them out and see if you can fill in the holes. And everything you mentioned is part of that puzzle, Sarah. And the fact that Wuhan had something, it most likely has to do with the iron that creates the inflammation reaction, which attacks the lung. And the thing that tipped off that New York emergency room physician is that the x-rays, the chest x-rays, were always bilateral. Both lungs were involved. Pneumonia isn't always both lungs. Sometimes you can have it on only one side, and this was always both sides, which said this isn't pneumonia. So that's what got them thinking about possibly the iron. The other thing that you have to remember is we're dealing with viruses. So what happens where it first is released can be completely different from wherever it ends up because of mutation. Those viruses mutate. That's why the vaccines are so tough to develop, because that outer protein coat is always a moving target. And I think that the 5G and the pollution both come into play. Because if you go back to the basic toxicology, your cells have one bucket of protective stuff. And if you're fighting a viral infection, which is taking stuff out of that bucket, and then air pollution is taking stuff out of that bucket, and 5G is putting that energy, that radiation, right into your cells, and the cells are taking out of that bucket. If everything is taking out of the bucket, and your body is struggling to keep stuff in the bucket, your ability to fight is going to be extinguished that much faster. And that's probably contributing to what we saw in Wuhan and everywhere else. So between the mutations and all of the oxidative stress and insult on the cells, the body just can't keep up.
So many other viruses, and one key thing we're forgetting is glyphosate, Roundup. Glyphosate robs the body of the key antioxidant to remove those reactive oxygen and nitrogen species that we commonly call free radicals. Glyphosate destroys glutathione production and replaces your glutathione. So that's worldwide. That's processed food. So part of this, you know, criminal activity in our country is the farmers markets are closed. So we can't get food that's non-GMO. So GMO and the explosion in GMO toxicity contributes heavily. So it's not just this one virus that our immune system can't respond to. It's any RNA virus. It's all of it. We've crippled our defense.
It's really a perfect storm.
Yeah, well, what Sherry Edwards came up with right away is glutathione. It's attacking glutathione. So that could be that trigger. The other thing is when it comes to 5G, she says that the frequency is in the range of iron. And there's something with that as well. I just wish more scientists understood this, because if we had, most of our scientists are studying, I mean, if they could get to the foundation level and actually study frequency and understand what this stuff means as well, we could be, like Tesla said, we'd go, all of science in 10 years would move, we would move in 10 years what they understood all of science, because they're all focused on not the source problems. And then we have issues where the criminals, once we do find a solution, like Merck found a solution and they shelved it because it takes up the greed problem. And we have multiple facets of problems, but we have scientists focused in the wrong areas. But anyways, I keep harping on that because it's so frustrating to watch our scientists just being brainwashed and not being able to flourish and solve problems. So what do we do? I mean, you know, besides shaking Trump and telling him that you two need to get on his court, what do we do? Judy, I see you raising your hand.
Yeah, well, the scientists, you hit it exactly. We're censored. So the news media only propagates, you know, propaganda masquerading as scientists. Our students, our bright ones, they're being told, you know, all of these, they're being taught this in medical school. You know, Merck didn't make these discoveries. We at the National Institutes and worldwide made them 40 years ago. And Merck simply did like we did with Tesla, just buy up the stuff and make it all go away so you can keep making a profit because there's no patent. You know, the same thing's true with our cannabis. It's our federal government censoring. So cannabis is a very valuable therapy for dimming the inflammation. It's the endocannabinoid system is your entire dimmer switch on inflammation. And yet that's been outlawed since 1937. And while the government holds the patent since 2004, you know, it's illegal. It's a Schedule I drug. People can't do clinical trials with cannabis unless you get the government's cannabis and it's laced with glyphosate and Roundup. So you're never going to get the data. So this is censorship. This is it. Our entire system of medicine is broken. And that's what you see in our two books, Plague and Plague of Corruption. They're not going to let you discover the things. So the brilliant scientists and the fabulous technology that we have out there, and the same in the practice of medicine. That doctor in the ER said, hey, we have protocol. And he actually got sanctioned and moved out of the ICU because he didn't follow protocol.
Oh my God.
So it's a plague of corruption.
Protocol
not
is
a plague
kill
of
people.
Disease. So we'll... Chris? Yeah.
And if you
That's
don't
right.
kill people,
it goes
you're
back
out.
To that old story.
Go ahead, Joel.
Correct.
It goes back to that old story about all the monkeys that were in the cage, and when one of them went up the ladder to get a banana that was hanging in the cage, somebody hosed off the rest of the monkeys that weren't going after the banana, and then they took away the monkeys one at a time until they were all switched out, and when a new monkey went after the banana and the rest of the monkeys beat up that monkey, the monkey didn't understand what was going on. But the moral of the story is we do it that way because that's the way we've always done it.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on in the hospitals. The doctors aren't allowed to be free thinkers. They aren't allowed to be critical thinkers. They're allowed to follow protocol. And when they don't follow protocol, then things happen. And that could be linked to the litigious society that we live in. But what it does is it stifles creativity, and it stifles out-of-the-box thinking, and it stifles saving lives in times like this.